Welcome to a Grey Cup game day. It is the Green Zone with Jamie Nye, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson. Here we are, 2 hours away from kickoff at Princess Auto Stadium. It is the number one team in the West, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, against the 10-8 Alouettes coming out of the East. How are you feeling, guys? Daryl, how are you feeling on Grey Cup game day?
they don't get here very often, Jamie, so it's kind of wild, right? They haven't won since 2013, the Rough Riders, since they won at home. So going on the road, and a lot of people still talking about the last time they met the Montreal Alouettes in 2009 and 2010.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah, but it seems to come up, and people think that this is kind of vengeance that's coming up. And I don't think that's the way they're thinking. The fans are thinking that way, so that's been a lot of the talk this week. But I still think that this football team is solid. It's on good footing. It's well-coached. It's a veteran-laden squad. And whatever goes wrong during the week or during the game, I think this team is capable of dealing with it.
I'm feeling good about it, fellas. Like, this game, this is what you want. This is what coaches want, the final game, right? And with the Riders, I don't know. I feel so good about them. Like, I want to pick a blowout, to be honest with you, because just with the Rider defense, you know, the offense has been clicking lately and everything. But I don't know. This Davis Alexander character, he's got me on the fence right now. So we'll see.
Are you saying you don't know who you're picking yet, Belton?
I know who I'm picking, but I'm just whenever it seems like Davis Alexander, he's the kryptonite for me right now. Because if you think about it, fellas, the first two games the Riders played, it was against who?
McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Exactly, right. It was against him. They haven't faced Davis Alexander yet, and all I know is all he does is win, man.
He's their guy, right? 13 straight victories as a starter, unprecedented, full of confidence, but a touchy hamstring, and that's been the talk of the week. Even wherever you go, Jamie, that's what everybody says. Yeah. If the Riders are playing McLeod Bethel Thompson at quarterback, it's a blowout. With Davis Alexander playing quarterback for the Montreal Alouettes, this is going to be an exciting game.
And that's where we start with the biggest storyline of the week, Davis Alexander's hamstring yesterday. Have you ever had this happen before, Daryl? The quarterback had to do a Microsoft Teams media availability because it wasn't available at the stadium because everybody got evacuated because of a sprinkler malfunction at Princess Auto Stadium. So the Alouettes were removed from their walkthrough and went to their hotel. So, Davis, Daryl, you're the veteran. I don't remember that ever happening.
Never
before.
Happened to me, Jamie. You're not doing a very good job of looking after things over there.
I had nothing to do with the sprinkler malfunction. But the Alouettes are hoping that there's no hamstring malfunction for Davis Alexander, as the QB talked about the health.
I would say somewhere between 75 to 90%. Again, haven't fully put it out there yet. At least, but we were able to check off all, you know, the day one, day two, day three boxes. And yeah, I keep saying it, but it's gone better than expected.
There you have it. That is Davis Alexander. It's gone better than expected.
You know what I heard of that quote, though? When he started saying 80 and then he backtracks to
75, right?
I started thinking, you know what? It's, you know, that's been the key all week. That's all everybody's talking about. And I know that he keeps saying, we'll see, I'll be fine. But when he backtracked that little bit, I don't know. That's subliminal to me. It keeps saying, you know, maybe I'm not quite as good as I thought I was going to be.
And, of course, there's some questions from the Rough Riders. Are they being way too honest about this hamstring injury?
I'm not falling for the hamstring. We're not falling for the hamstring. If he's hurt, all right, but like we're treating him like he's 100%, and that's how it's going to be.
You're not falling for the hamstring?
No, not falling for the hamstring.
He's fully admitting that, hey, I pulled at this guy. Oh, boy.
I don't care. We do not care. I'm treating it like his hamstring is 100%.
Okay.
He's going to have to show us that hamstring isn't working before we treat him like it's not. Yeah, never fall for the okie doke, man.
Yeah, I'm with him. Don't fall for the okie doke, man. You got to treat him that way, fellas. And, you know, with the Riders, especially with that defense, man, it's, you know, I love when they bring six, seven guys, and I think that's what they need to do. They need to, hey, let's test them out, make them run around and everything, right? Because, you know, I just see Davis Alexander is almost like a Rourke, right? Mm-hmm. And he can move. When he gets out the pocket, if he gets out the pocket, guess where? He's looking downfield to go deep there. And if they could get him moving and running, that, you know, on which there, that subliminal message that if he gets sprinting, mm-hmm. that could change things, right?
And that's what they have to do. They really have to pressure him to see it. You know, they're going to say that, okay, we got to take him at 100%, of mm-hmm. course. Otherwise, yep. he's not playing. But they got to move him around. Yes. As much as he likes moving around, he, like Rourke too, he likes to throw on the run. He's mm-hmm. not a pocket passer. So they have to move him, but they got to get chasing him and make him stretch out that hamstring and see how good it is. That's a, it's a battle of the survival of the fittest when yes. it gets to football, especially the Grey Cup. You got to do everything you can to test him and to make him uncomfortable, and that's what they're going to try to do. He's a wonderful player. I love his charisma. I love his attitude, the way he's yeah. good, brash. So is Nathan Rourke. These young kids who are taking over the quarterback role in the CFL, great to watch them, but he's really the difference maker for this game today.
What does Davis Alexander think about the Riders think that the Alouettes might be trying to rope-a-dope them?
Yeah, I don't care. I think it's hilarious. I mean, if that's what they're worried about, that's what they're worried about. We'll see after the game, I guess.
That was mm-hmm. Davis Alexander yesterday.
I get such a kick out of it. Even all week, you know, the Montreal Alouettes and their defense says, you know what, we're just not respected. We got to prove something to everybody. What do you mean you're not respected? Everybody says you're the best defense in the league. The Riders even basically say it. Everybody watching says it. I love how pro players, and Belton helped me on this one. Why do they always think they have to, that they're disrespected, they have a chip on their shoulder? Is that the only way they get motivated?
Well, to me, that is a way to get motivated, right? And you know, you look at that Alouettes defense, they've held that team tight, you know, when Alexander wasn't playing yes. and everything, right? So they are good. And if that's what you got to do to get an edge there, that's just what you got to do. And, you know, and I see both of these teams pretty much even, to be honest with you, right? Mm-hmm. Defensively, I could give them both the check mark. Offensively, with Davis Alexander, give them both the check mark. To me, the difference might come down to special teams, man. Like, I just, that's where I got a question mark with the Riders.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of give the check mark to the kicker there with the Alouettes, right? And, you know, just what he does, that muscle.
Yeah, he's a strong, consistent kicker.
We'll see what they need late in the game. Or will it be another tough decision from head coach Corey Mace? So let's get to our first bold prediction question. You guys must have known it was coming. All season long, we've been tracking the points. Belton has surged ahead now that I've added big-time bonus points, as he's now at 138. Daryl's at 132. I'm at 130. So Davis Alexander, passing yards, rushing yards. How many sacks do the Riders get on Davis Alexander? Touchdowns, rushing, passing combined. And how many throws do other quarterbacks for the Alouettes have today? McLeod Bethel-Thompson, of course, would be first up. Shea Patterson, the former Rider, is the third stringer. So let's start passing yards. And, of course, all the bonus points are still available.
I don't think he's going to last the game, Belton. So that's my pick.
It's the great cub there. Man. Yeah, he's the other lad.
Yeah, I don't think I think he's hurt. I think that he is going to hurt something, and my yardage totals will reflect that. So for it.
I'm going to go 232 passing yards.
Yep.
And what we need
rushing yards?
Rushing yards. Oh man, I'm going to go 26, Jamie, on the rushing.
How many times do the Riders sack him?
Him at or least all
four.
Quarterbacks.
At least four times.
Yeah.
No, how many times does he get sacked?
How many times he gets sacked. Okay.
So four sacks.
And touchdowns?
Two.
And how many pass attempts for either McLeod Bethel-Thompson or Shea Patterson?
Oh, boy. I'm going to go zero.
Okay. Daryl, you're second. You get to go next.
Okay, because I keep thinking, as I said, I don't think he's going to last. I think he's going to run. And watching him last game, he shouldn't have played that at the end of that game. He's going to get hurt, and I don't wish him that, and I don't want that to happen because I want to watch him play. But I just think that he's hurt, yeah, and they're going to force him, and he's going to try to run, and something's going to happen. So I'm putting him at, he'll last a little while. I'll put him at 190 for passing yards. No touchdowns. How many times will they sack him? Probably twice.
Rushing yards?
Rushing yards, 15.
And other quarterback snaps.
Pass attempts.
Well,
if you guys are probably going to say none, I may as well go 15.
Well, I'm not going 15. Well, I'm not going none. Okay. I believe we're going to see another quarterback.
I do too.
But I think it'll be – I'm going to go 10 for other quarterbacks. Passing yards. Just in case, 250. Rushing yards. I'm gonna say 17. That was the number I had in my head. I know you said 15, Darryl, but I had 17 in my head all day. Sacks for the Riders, 1, and touchdowns, 1 for Davis Alexander. There's that one storyline. Let's talk about the other quarterback. Trevor Harris has been asked over and over, what is your future? He defers. It's not about me. It's not about my future. It's about winning this week. Yesterday, he was asked, had he ever dreamed of winning a Grey Cup and being able to walk off and ride off into the sunset?
I know what you're doing here. Yes, I've envisioned myself winning a Grey Cup. I'm not there yet to talk about what's after, but let's just go get it done for these guys and one another tomorrow, and we'll talk about it tomorrow after the game.
What do you think we'll talk about after the game, Darryl?
It might be his last one. He's 39,
yeah,
and he's got a family, and they get split up during the season, and that's tough on him, but I think he wants to play some more. I think that if he wins, they had so much fun this year. That's a strongly bonded team. There's a bunch of friends and people who absolutely adore being with each other. I wrote something this week that it's all about love for these guys. Yeah. And I really think that he won't walk away from something like this, and they'll want him back. And I don't think the Riders are ready to replace him, to be honest.
No.
So I think that figures into it a little bit too. I don't think he's playing so much for the money. He makes a good salary. Of course he does. And when you walk away, all of that's gone. And I don't think he wants to walk away. You could tell this year, Jamie, he loves playing. He loves being here. I think we're going to talk about, and after the game, he'll probably say, I haven't decided yet. We'll see how things go, and he'll be back.
I think he'll be back too, fellas. And, you know, once you get that taste in your mouth and everything, right, just going to the Grey Cup, you know.
Yeah. So even if they lose, you think he's coming back, though?
I think he will, yeah. Right? And everything is in place for him here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a good OC. He's got a good O-line. He's got a good run.
Gosh,
his buddy, AJ, his roommate, right?
Yeah, he and Oleta have become friends in 2 years. So.
And, you know, the receiving core, they built such a great chemistry and everything. And, you know, look how far down the depth chart that he's gotten to those other receivers, right? And, you know, I think he's here. It's no question in my mind that he'll be here.
Yeah.
As we continue here on the Green Zone.
What do you think, Jamie? Sorry to interrupt.
I think if they win, he's done.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. What makes you think that?
I don't know.
It's a beautiful ending, isn't it?
Yeah. He saw Henry Burris do it.
Yeah. Yes. That's true.
He was there when Burris won, and Burris was able to leave a champ. I think it'll be tough for him not to have that be the final chapter, is winning a championship, mm-hmm. and go, if I come back and then they have to, you know, carry me off the field again or something, like that's like, oof, at 39, I think it would be very tempting for him to ride off into the sunset. Another storyline this week, it happened yesterday. What's going on at receiver? Keyshawn Johnson practiced, and then he didn't for the last couple of days. He's out. Joe Robustelli trying to ramp up concussion protocol. Practiced a lot on day 2, which was Thursday. We saw him out there. Then he did not participate day 3. He is out. So a Joe, who's been practicing all week for the most part, will play. And the local guy, Mitch Pickton, is in the lineup, and it was an emotional news conference yesterday when he was asked who he'll be thinking about during Grey Cup Sunday.
You know, we certainly make sacrifices to play this game, but I think about family making sacrifices for us. And yeah, they're always there. They've been all over the country to come and watch me play football. So, yeah, my parents, my brother, my wife, they're all very special to me. So, sorry. Yeah, it's going to be cool. There's going to be a lot of Picton jerseys, a lot of 81 out there in the stands tomorrow. And that's something I'm very excited for, very thankful for.
When you and Noah, your cousin, were growing up playing in your backyard and then playing for the Regina Rams, how many times did you guys say, oh, like this one's for a touchdown in the Grey Cup with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? How often did that happen?
Yeah, a lot, a lot. Honestly, growing up, we kind of idolized the Rams. We grew up around the Rams a lot. Noah's dad played for the Rams. We were always at Rams practices. So that was kind of the dream, honestly. We grew up playing a lot of ball, and it was always like we couldn't wait to wear the horns, and that was the big thing. So to have the opportunity to do that and play together was super cool. And then obviously growing up in Saskatchewan, the Riders is the biggest deal, right? So then once I was drafted here, I had the opportunity to to play with this organization. I felt very thankful, and this was something that, you know, we had dreamed about and talked of for a very, very long time.
Have you spoken to Noah at all this week? Is he going to be at the game? And what's it going to mean to have him in the stands if he is?
Yeah, cool. So Noah saw the depth chart this morning. He texted me and said, I'm hitting the Highway 1 tomorrow. So, yeah, Noah's going to be here.
There you go.
Oh, man. I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think Milton was crying here. Yeah, I know his whole family, too, because they went to the same school as my kids. So, yeah, Home and School Association. I covered Dean, his uncle, when he played for the Rams. It is a wonderful family. That was the one that gave me, like you said, Belton, gave me shivers because I thought, you know, what a nice it's a nice gesture in a lot of ways because Mitch Picton's met so much of this team over the years, right? Doesn't complain, does what he's supposed to do. But you know what? There's also some practicality to this, too. Look who they took out and who dropped passes last week. Dell Duncan Busby dropped a crucial pass in the West Final.
He did.
And you know that if you're sitting there as coaches and you're saying, it'd be nice to put Mitch Picton in, that's not why they made the decision. No. Maybe a little bit it looks that way. But Dell Duncan Busby also dropped something. And if you think of who do you want in the fourth quarter, you're third and six and you got to make a catch, Mitch Picton comes through for them almost every single time, doesn't he? So I think that had most to do with the decision. He's trustworthy. He's accountable. He will be there and he'll make the right play. And I think that's if it's two pronged, the reason why they made the switch, good for them. But I think there's practicality to it too.
This is the Green Zone pregame show. A lot more to come as we will hear from the head coach. We will go behind enemy lines. I am missing Belton's cooking, which I'm kind of ticked off about,
right,
but I'm happy I'm in Winnipeg. I'm happy I'm at the Grey Cup. I'm happy I saw the Rec Laws last night. But we'll get to the tailgating tip and who's going to eat in just a little bit. But coming up next, Britton Gray has put together a top-notch all-or-nothing to put a bow on this season and what a Grey Cup championship would mean to not only the team, but the province. That's next on the Green Zone pregame show, Grey Cup edition on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone Grey Cup pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson getting you set for the 112th Grey Cup, Princess Auto Stadium in Winnipeg, Manitoba, as the Rough Riders will take on the Montreal Alouettes. The Riders are trying to win their fifth Grey Cup. I hope you've enjoyed our coverage throughout the week live from Winnipeg, even like Locker on the Loose segments. Daryl, Belton, have you been checking those out on social media?
I can't keep up the locker.
Hey, they were hilarious, right?
I've never been a lock out there.
He was getting predictions, and he was talking to Winnipeggers about who they're going to cheer. So, surprising amount of Winnipeggers said they're picking the Riders, but you might have noticed something. A lot of them, before they said they're picking the Riders, went reluctantly or, well, unfortunately, I'll be cheering on the – they had a lot of caveats on picking the Rough Riders. But I don't know what it's going to be. There's a lot of Rider fans here. A lot of people I talked to, you know, went to Ticketmaster and tried to eat up tickets. I'll be interested to see, actually, how much green is in the home of the bombers today, Daryl.
That's unusual. But you're right. There's a camaraderie there. But as Corey Bass said earlier in the week, Jamie, the thing he's happiest about in terms of playing in Winnipeg, although you could tell that they're all proud to be basically taking over the stadium that the Bombers play in, but he's happy that fans are close. It's the closest drive. It's like a six-hour drive, divided highway all the way, so a lot of fans all of a sudden jumped in. Like Noah Pickton said, I'm coming to the game, and a lot of people were able to do that because of the proximity, so of course there's going to be a lot of green. Rider fans travel anyway, but when it's the closest center, there's even more of them.
Well, it's time now for Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray's All or Nothing, as the 112th Grey Cup means more than winning for each other in that Rider locker room. They continue to say how much they want to win it for Saskatchewan, and that's the focus of Britton Gray's All or Nothing.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders are one of the most historic franchises in the CFL, but unfortunately, that doesn't mean championships have come easy. The Green and White have only raised the Grey Cup four times.
Saskatchewan Roughriders have defeated the Ottawa Roughriders 29-14.
It's up! It's good!
Joseph takes the knee, the gun sounds, and the Saskatchewan Roughriders come back to Toronto and win.
The 13th man can celebrate in 2013. The Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions.
Throughout their history, there's been more heartbreak, with some of the more painful moments coming against the Alouettes.
Close to being a hero, and he's missed, but they're all markers down.
Illegal substitution, too many men on the field.
Ball down, ball through, and the Montreal Alouettes have come all the
way. But now the Riders have a chance to add a fifth banner to the walls of Mosaic Stadium and bring the always faithful Rider Nation a long-awaited title. Quarterback Trevor Harris has seen the love from the fans during his time here.
You can feel the hunger of what they want to accomplish and how great they want to be and how great our fan base is. And so for them to show up for us just on a send-off, to sit out there in the cold last week, it was cold in that game, and they were loud and proud. And they really, really were great for us last week, and we couldn't be more grateful for our fans.
General manager Jeremy O'Day has played a part in bringing two titles to the province, both as a player and an executive.
Seeing the impact that it has on our fans, you know, standing there with the cup and seeing fans walk up from, you know, the last Grey Cup with pictures of their kids and getting a new picture with it. Just the reaction of when people see the cup. It's long overdue for the people of Saskatchewan. They deserve more championships.
Saskatchewan has become a second home for Tavon Campbell. He was even wearing his U of R Rams t-shirt when he was video called by head coach Corey Mace. And he admits he's thought about how cool it would be to bring the trophy to Regina.
I was telling someone else where I could bring the trophy when we go back to Regina. I'll bring it to this school. I'll bring it to the Rams facility. I'll bring it all around the city. Like, just the fans out there that, you know, yearn for that cup to be in Saskatchewan. I think it just means the world.
That sort of mindset comes from a place of confidence, according to the defensive back.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, oh, if we win it, or, you know, we might get to bring the trophy. No, I'm going to sit here like, we know we're going to win the trophy. We know we're going to win the game. We're going to go 1-0 this week and, you know, have that opportunity to take it back home and show it to the fans.
Offensive lineman Jamarcus Hardrick has seen what can happen when you deliver a title to a hungry fan base. He did it as a member of the Bombers a couple of times, so he can't wait to see what sort of celebration would be taking place in the city.
It would be amazing, man, if Average Creed or Broad Street or any of those can get crowded with green and white on, no shirts on, and the ultimate goal there. Gets me chills thinking about it.
From Lancaster to Reed, to Allday to Durant, a chance at forever leaving their mark on a football-crazy province awaits them. For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
That is Britton Gray's All or Nothing. How big do you think the party will be tonight, Belton?
Oh, man, I thought me and Daryl would go streaking tonight or something.
You didn't tell me that.
I think it'll be big, man. It's just, you know, this fan base, they've been waiting a little while, right, for the hoist that Grey Cup again. And, you know, all this week or Green week or whatever here, right?
Green and white days,
yeah. Yeah, green and white day. And I got folks messaged me photos of, you know, 2013, 2007, you know, just talking about the Grey Cup and everything. So it's long overdue, and I'm sure it's going to get a great welcome should the Riders pull it off here today.
Yeah, they're favored to it, mm-hmm. to do it, and that would make the Green Mile kind of crazy. Oh. Yeah, Jamarcus Hardrick wanted Broad Street and Albert Street filled. Yeah. I don't know if they could do that both. I think the Green Mile and some of the bars I'm sure some will be open. I haven't looked at all the local watering holes, but we'll be watching. And the streaking part, I'm out, Dalton. Sorry on that one. It's a little chilly
warm
today
over here in Regina. Yeah, come on, Darryl.
pass on that one. But we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show as we get you set for the 112th Grey Cup, your Saskatchewan Rough Riders against the Montreal Alouettes. Kickoff just past 5 o'clock. Of course, it is on TSN. You have Our Lady Peace with the kickoff show, the anthems, of course, the halftime Machine Gun Kelly today for the Grey Cup. And of course, the Green Zone post game show will sound a little bit different when the final game sounds because of restrictions at the stadium. I cannot broadcast live until the trophy presentation happens. Kevin Martell will help us out on the Green Zone post game show with the fellas. And I've already queued him up, Bob, just in case, just so you know, I've already queued him up. He'll have Long Live the Night ready if the Riders prevail in the 112th Grey Cup. Jamie, Darryl, Belton, a lot more to come. Coming up next, Behind Enemy Lines. We'll talk to a member of the Alouettes next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. We are about an hour and a half away from kickoff of the 112th Grey Cup. Welcome back to the Green Zone game day pregame show, Grey Cup edition, with Jamie and I, Darryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. You have the Rough Riders, top team in the league all season, against the Alouettes, who were 10-8, but with starter Davis Alexander, haven't lost a game in his career. Belton, can you believe that? 13-0 as a starting quarterback is unbelievable, in my opinion.
Oh, it is. It almost sounds like a Madden video game type number, to be honest with you. And I honestly can't believe it. And, you know, just it's him, right? Like, yeah, the Alouettes, they got a really good defense, but it's Alexander. Like I told you earlier, he is the X factor, in my opinion, to this team. He could run, he could throw, got, you know, what can't this guy do? And I don't know what we're going to see today, Darryl, because the one I'm on the fence when he plays. And when I know about hamstring injuries, I'm kind of is he going to make it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, he is their everything in my book.
Yeah, and because he is. And running such a big part of his game, but he's also a personality. The team takes on his personality. They love his taunting and the way he was goading the Hamilton fans at the East Final. Jason Moss is kind of like that as head coach. He's fiery on the sidelines. It's kind of a mixture of those two, mm-hmm. right? They both have this outgoing personality during games. When you meet Jason Moss, he's one of these most reserved guys you'll ever meet until he's on the sidelines. And Davis Alexander seems gracious, and then during the game, he's a little wild. I think the Rough Riders are a reflection, too. Corey Mace looks cerebral, calm on the sidelines. Trevor Harris, although he can be fiery during the games, is kind of all in composed too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a contrast of two styles, and I think that's part of the fun of watching today's game, to see how they mix and match and who comes out on top. Is it the brash guys and the loud ones, or is it the cerebral ones who are thoughtful and able to recover in certain moments? So that's what I'm kind of watching for, and I think that's going to be a great matchup to look for.
Well, right now, let's go Behind Enemy Lines here on the Green Zone pregame show.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
Each and every pregame show, I'm able to chat with a member of the opposition, and media day, I was able to sit down and chat one-on-one with receiver Tyler Snead about how important this team's experience from winning it 2 years ago could be today in the 112th Grey Cup.
We've experienced it, so, you know, I think a lot of the guys have been in these games before, in these big games, and, you know, I know a lot of people always say that, you know, big games are different, and You know, they are, but at the same time, you still got to go out there and do your job and play football. And so, you know, the advantages of it, me personally, I don't know how much it is, but it means a lot for us to be back, because I know it's hard to get back to this point. And, you know, I feel like we've been through a lot in this season as a team. So to be able to come back and be here in this moment is huge for us.
What's it take to win a championship? Like, on game day, what do these two teams, your team specifically, knowing what you know, what will it take to win?
Just everybody in that locker room believing that we are going to win and believing that we can do it, and that's why we're meant to be here. And then obviously going out there with the ultimate focus, discipline, and, you know, just competitiveness to go out there and compete. And I know, you know, they're a great team. It's going to be a fun, exciting, competitive game, and I can't wait for it.
Because championship games, like, wild stuff happens mm-hmm. all the time. Like, how focused and do you have to be to ride what's going to be a roller coaster on Sunday?
Very focused, just because, you know, usually when you break it down, you can say that a game comes down to a handful of plays, and you never know when those plays are going to be. And so to be at the highest stage, you know, in the biggest moment, competing for a championship, we have to be focused for every single play. And that means, you know, ultimate focus, no slacking off, no getting, you know, in and out of focus, just be there in the moment, present for the whole duration of the game.
How different of a character is Davis from Cody? Like, they're totally almost 180, but in Davis's way, how important has his leadership and bravado meant to the Alouettes? Or is he going to give you the FU speech like Cody did out of the Grey Cup?
I don't know. You know, we'll see in the next coming days. I feel like, you know, both those guys are great leaders, great competitors. You know, obviously they're two different quarterbacks, two different playing styles, like you said. But, you know, with Davis, it's just every time he's in the huddle, every time he's on the field, his energy and his confidence is just contagious. And, you know, that rubs off on all of us. And, you know, that makes us, you know, more energetic and want to play harder. And, you know, you want to play for each other. And I feel like we got a really close group. This is probably the closest group, closest team that I've been a part of. And so, you know, to go out there and want to compete for each other and want to win. And, you know, I want to win for this guy and that guy. I think that's, you know, the strength of us. And I think that's what he brings. And he brings us kind of all together with that and with that energy and, you know, the competitiveness, the way he plays the game.
What are you up against with this Rough Rider defense?
Yeah, they're a great defense, great team. You know, we've seen them, and we split games with them earlier in the regular season. You know, this will be our third time facing them. I know they got a good D-line. I know they got a good back end with safeties, corners, all that, good backers. You know, they're an all-around team, all-around defense, and, you know, that's why they're at this point in this game, because they've earned the right to be here, and they've competed and deserve to be here. And so, you know, we know what we're up against, and, you know, obviously we're watching tape throughout this week, trying to game plan and, you know, do different things, see if we can catch them in different things. But, you know, that's just the name of the game. They're a great team. I feel like we got a great team. So going out there on Sunday and be able to compete against them, two great teams together, I'm excited for it.
This feels like it's going to be a knock 'em out, drag 'em out fight to the finish.
Yeah, you know, going into this game, you expect to have a physical football game. You know, you expect it to be a little chippy. So that's just
not literally fist fights, but these two teams pride themselves on toughness, right?
Right, and, you know, I think that's how both coaches are too when you look at it. And so that's what we're both built on, and that's like the base of the team and the core of the team. And so it's going to be a fun, physical, tough football game, and I can't wait for it.
Belton, how excited are you about a tough physical football game?
I love physical football games, fella, because when I hear physical, I just jump to the trenches, right? And, you know, the Riders, man, do they have a great O-line. I'm sorry, they do. And the Alouettes, you know, they're so-so to me a little bit. But the thing with the Alouettes when it comes to being physical, they have a running back. I don't think enough people are talking about, who is it, Scott there, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think enough people have recognized what this guy has done for that Alouettes team either. And again, with the Riders, you know, A.J. Ouellette, ground and pound, right? So, me, the perfect football game would be okay, let's see how we're going to start the game, open up with running the ball and everything, right? To set the tone. Mm-hmm. You have to set the tone in these type of games. And whoever is more physical, that's probably who's going to win the game today. Yeah.
And Scott came into the spotlight a little bit when against the Rough Riders, right?
That's right.
They needed him as an emergency replacement during the game and came in and ran over them a little bit, right? And that's tough to do against Saskatchewan's defense. They're the best team in the league against the run. So if you can get some ground yardage today, it's going to make a huge difference. And AJ Ouellette, we haven't talked about yet. What a great cold weather performer he is, and what a great season he's had, and how nimble he's been on his feet and healthy. They've used him. They've used him a little bit in the passing game. I think it's going to be a matchup, a lot of runs, usually in the Grey Cup, it's big plays, but you have to grind it out and get that field position. And the thing you mentioned, Belton, that offensive line for the Rough Riders, the way they've revamped it, it's taken them 2 years, basically, with all the pieces they've had to put in place. And who would have thought that they would have four American starting offensive linemen? This team that's relied on so many great Canadian offensive linemen over the years has now revamped itself. And that was a dominant offensive line performance against the BC Lions in the West Final with this group, and they've left it intact. It's powerful, and they need it against a great Montreal Alouettes defense.
Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you on Grey Cup Sunday, the 112th Grey Cup at Princess Auto Stadium in Winnipeg. It is the Rough Riders vying for their fifth championship in their long history of mostly heartbreak in championship moments. Coming up next, we'll go inside the green and white. We'll hear from Dante Myers, CJ Rivas before kickoff, right here on a Grey Cup edition of the Green Zone pregame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the 112th Grey Cup. I hope everybody has the beverages stocked for the night, the charcuterie boards locked up, the pizzas ordered, everything's ready to go as we near kickoff of the 112th Grey Cup. The Rough Riders back again for the first time since 2013 when they won it all in a magical night at Mosaic. And, of course, the Alouettes trying to win their second championship in 3 years, dating back to when they beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in Hamilton with Cody Fajardo at the helm. But this week, it's Davis Alexander. Let's go inside the green and white. Here are a couple of members of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Let's start off with a receiver, the only American receiver that will be playing today. That is 1,000-yard man Dante Myers, about whether or not he's feeling the pressure ahead of the game.
Honestly, it feels amazing. This is the biggest game that I will have played in my entire life. But it's nice. This is a goal that we set to get to play in the game. So to be here is just like one step closer to the end goal.
What's it going to take to get that W on Sunday?
It's going to take everything. The Montreal Alouettes, man, they're a great team. This isn't their first time there. They have a lot of repeat players, that have had success on that team. And, so it's going to take everything we got. It's going to take our best shot. It's going to take a full team effort. It's going to take everything that we have to give to win the game.
So, Dante, when you talk about that, I talked to Sam, and I asked him, how are you going to feel on Sunday, game day? And he goes, I have no idea. This is your first Grey Cup, right? How much do you have to do you embrace it? Are you players let's feed off the energy? Or do you have to consciously say to yourself, don't get too overhyped because that might make you do something you're not supposed to do on the field or miss an assignment or something?
Honestly, for me, I'm a pretty even-keel guy, so I will have to see in the moment. But last game was my biggest game of my life, and I was just kind of locked in on the moment, just taking one play at a time. That's something that coaches preach: be where your feet are at, so just go through my process. Keep the main thing the main thing. That's just going out there and executing each and every play, So as soon as I hear the play call, all right, let's go execute. Not kind of think about the things that I can't control, just kind of think about the things that are in my control and what's required of me. That's playing together, that's giving my all, and that's executing,
Okay, let's talk about the catch last week to the 3-yard line. That, unreal catch, but we saw it in training camp. What does that prove to you about the work you've put in to be able to contort your body with the ball that's slightly behind you in the air in that moment to make that play?
Well, honestly, I wouldn't say like the moments try to bring a different version of yourself out. I just think that's just a product of the collective hard work that we put in the receiver room and just the offensive staff. Like, we work together to be in those moments. A lot of me and the receivers, we work out together, you know, we catch balls after practice. We're in the weight room training our body to perform at its highest level and just get maxing out our potential, you know. So just to be able to exercise it and to be able to tap into that when it's required, you know, that's what you hope for. You know, we've seen Sam Imless had a highlight catch a couple of weeks ago, you know, so it's not something that's out of character of the group, you know. So
how many, like, you're gonna have to make those plays, like, how big are those plays gonna be on Sunday? Like, there's a lot of drops in that game against the BC, both sides. Yeah. How important will those moments be?
Well, they say football is a game of inches, you know, so every yard, every catch, every play is pivotal. And, you know, you don't know which 5 to 7 plays may dictate the outcome of the game, you know. So wherever the ball is at, you just got to make the play, you know, and that's the mentality, and that's just kind of standard. Like, just whatever it takes, man. We're at the Grey Cup, you know, so, like, come on, man. There's no tomorrow, man. I know, like, people heard David Goggins, man, like, burn the boats. Like, there is nothing else to, you know, play for. Like, this is it, you know. So we've come this far. Like, there's no regrets.
You can't have any regrets, Belton. Mm-hmm. You saw it for yourself with teams. How important is that attitude? It's now or never.
Well, like you said, there is no tomorrow. You know, you fellas, we lost 1-09. I honest to God wish I had a second ring right now. Every Grey Cup, I think we were that close. Mm-hmm. You know, things happen, but there is no tomorrow. Either you're going to wake up pumped up, happy you want it, or you're going to be looking back, man, I wish I had done this different. I wish I had done that better. And today, they have to lay it on the line. I don't, by any freaking means necessary, get the freaking job done, right? And, you know, you talk about Dante Myers, week 9, I think they played Dallas. He had, 5 catches, 136 yards. That's the Dante Myers that's needed today, fellas.
Or the guy who made that huge catch last week.
Or last week, right?
You don't get many chances, no. Belton. You're right. There are guys who play their whole career. Look at Milt Stegall, one of the greatest receivers of all time. Never won a Grey Cup.
That's right.
And even him talking about it on TSN this week, you hear it. I wanted to win one. You know, that's the biggest regret he had in his career. So when you get there, leave it on the line. What does Richie Hall always say? If this is your last play, how are you going to be remembered, right? If this is your last game, if this is your last chance at the Grey Cup, how are you going to be remembered? And the losing stings forever, but winning bonds this team forever too. You're always together as a brotherhood of players and the entire organization. So that's the importance and that's the difference. And if that motivates you, whatever motivates you, you've got to give it 100%. Or we can use the old sports cliche, 110%, right? You have to give everything you've got and extra.
Okay, let's flip the ball over to the defensive side. I talked to C.J. Revis, the starting safety, about trying to keep the emotions in check.
I think it's just a combination of things, man. It's a combination of excitement, you know, gratitude, gratefulness, and just I think we're just ready, man. I think we all had the same goal coming into camp, coming into the season. Coach Mace was very candid on that, man. You know, we had one goal. That's a Grey Cup. So I think everything that we've done up to this point has got us here. So we got to just keep on doing it and finish the job.
When that is the goal, what was it like after winning the West Final? Was it celebratory or did it feel like it was still locked in?
I feel like right after the game, we win, and, you know, that emotions are running high, but I feel like it didn't last long, you know. Like, I think Coach May set the tone, like, bro, this is not what we want. You know, the West Final means nothing to us, you know what I'm saying? Not that it means nothing to us, but, like, and it's not nothing, you know what I'm saying, to get hyped about. It's about that cup and only the cup, and I think he made that very clear to us even when we won the game, like, all right, this is cool, but this is not the goal. So it was a great feeling, but we all kind of were still, like, you know what I'm saying, like that a little bit.
Yeah, so Is that why you guys didn't touch the trophy?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's cool, but you don't get no points for West Final, man. You don't get no points for that.
So, planning for Davis Alexander, how do you get ready for him? You haven't seen him yet this year because he's been out.
Right. I mean, he's a good quarterback. You know, got to keep him in the pocket, not let him get hot, use his legs a little bit, and just do our job. I think if we do our job, we'll be all right.
So, how do you game plan for the possibility that it won't be him at some point, that it'll be McLeod? Or is this prep that you do every week to break down all the quarterbacks?
I think it doesn't really matter who plays. It's the Jims and the Joes, not the X's and the O's. So I think whoever is quarterback, we got to go out there and make it tough for him. We got to go out there and not make it easy, you know, and go out there and make it a tough game for him.
So prepping this week, how weird has it been? You're in a different environment. How much does that rattle you a little bit?
It doesn't rattle you, but you definitely got to lock in a little bit more. It's hard to keep that same routine, you know, when you're not at the stadium or not at home, you know. But I think everybody, we have a great group of guys, man. You know, like our first day here, we had the whole team listening together, you know, on a day we didn't have to, you know. So I think that just shows you how locked in we all are and how hungry we all are. Everybody had the same mindset. We want to win so bad.
Okay, that lifting day. What? Corey told me about that. Yeah. He said it was like, hey, it's optional, and like 58 guys.
Yeah, man. It's like they had one bus for us, and they thought it was going to be a couple guys, and the whole team came. So I think that just shows you the makeup of this team, the makeup of this organization. You know, Coach Mays from J.O. to Kyle, all these guys, man. Like, this is a hard blue-nosed, blue-collar organization, and we just all embody that.
Why did the culture shift? What was it about the culture? This, like, it was off. It seemed like walking in there was offense one side, defense on the other side. 100%. What changed?
Like you said, culture before this sucked, man, to be honest. So I'm grateful for Coach Mace. He told me the first day he signed me, you know, this is going to be different, you know, family, football, Grey Cup, you know what I'm saying? So I think he stuck to his guns, man. He really embodied that. I think family is the most important part of that. Even last year, man, we lost like 6 games straight. It still was fun to come in and work. And that's hard to do at a pro level when you're not winning games. It's hard to come to work and still have fun, you know. I think that just shows you the type of team we have, type of bond we have together, and type of culture that he's built here.
There's some straight honesty from C.J. Revis. Those coaches sucked. Here they are with a new coach 2 years in, and a coach they very much belt and believe in. You've chatted with these guys, right? Like you know. A couple of the guys, invited some over for Thanksgiving, but they love this guy.
They absolutely love Mace. You know, I'd even say it's the same as with Coach Austin. You know, when I played and everything, you love Coach Austin, and that's the what I feel about this team. It has that aura about it, right? And you know, like you said, I had a couple of guys over for Thanksgiving, and man, they, you know, to welcome them into my home and everything, and you know, they just talked about, you know, family, how they hang out. These guys, they don't go out party or nothing, like, not like I did when I played, right? But you know, it's their focus, and they have one goal, and that is to win the Grey Cup. I, you know, sat there with the fellas, and it's just like, man, y'all don't do, like, go party, nothing. No, we go to practice. If I go out, I just go out and have a bite to eat, go home. And even my wife, she sat there a while, like, and they have an incredible bond. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm talking incredible. Yeah. It is strong, man. And you know, you heard him talk about lifting weights there. You're like, coach, optional. It's optional, right? But they all go. To me, they bought in. Yep. And it's because of Mace.
Yep. They're winning not for themselves, mm-mm, but for each other, right?
They are.
It's a real family. It's that love. Jamie, you and I in Belton were laughing about it. Like, you almost get sick of hearing, oh, we love each other so much. And you start thinking, oh, that's so hokey. But it's so true. It's not hokey, right? That's the way they believe it. That's the way they look at each other. And that's who motivates them. They motivate themselves by looking at the person beside them and saying, we got to do it for each other here. And that, you know, not that the Alouettes don't do that. Of course they do. But you just see it. So we see it so firsthand and so strongly, mm-hmm, among this Rough Rider team. And we didn't used to see it with a lot of these other coaches, right? Even when they won with Corey Chamberlain that year, there was almost a dysfunctional family. But they were so talented that they kept on winning.
Yep.
This team is winning for each other, for the love they feel for each other. You know, I bought into it too. I think, yeah, it sounds corny, but what the heck? It's working for them. And if the guys buy in, as Belton talked about, you all go lift together, you all go do things together. When you buy in, you got a chance to win a championship.
This is the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the 112th Grey Cup, the Alouettes against the Rough Riders. Directly ahead, who's going to eat? And Belton Johnson's tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.